CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. And this is the time we get together every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events from a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, does it line up with what the Word of God says? And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, someone's asked you a question, hey, give us a call. We'll do our very best to answer maybe more than one question for you. Give us a call, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program today. We've got some lines open. Sure, you should assured to get on if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker that comes on 1 hour before all of us as we get here. We have with us John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South Orange County, down by San Clemente. Hi, and welcome, John.
Mike, great to be back with you 2 days in a row. Lucky me.
Oh, man, it's a blessing.
Glad to sit in again today on this Tuesday. It's exciting. Thank you for having me.
I sat in on your Bible study today an hour ago. Really enjoyed it, the woman at the well, and how God touched her life, and she became quite an evangelist, God will cause all of us to be evangelists if we'll yield our life to him. And Amen. So... great, John. I'm so glad you're with us. What's going on at Calvary Chapel South OC?
Well, I tell you, Mike, we just had a huge weekend this last weekend. We had a women's conference here at our fellowship, and then we had, of course, the services on Sunday morning. And then we had Charlie Kirk with us from Turning Point USA. And, boy, what an incredible gathering that was. I did a Q&A with Charlie, and... 30-year-old young man, but so knowledgeable about what's going on currently. And he was very helpful with all things election, all things, you know, just things to be aware of as a Christian, how we live in this culture and what God's called us to do. I really enjoyed it, and our people were thoroughly blessed by it.
Yeah, and as we always tell everyone, don't listen to the American news media. It is completely corrupted. You know, I watched... President Trump's speech about bringing manufacturing back to America. China wants to start building cars in Mexico. And Trump said, well, they do that, we're going to put 100% tariff, and that'll be a bloodbath for them because they're not going to want it. Well, the American news media says, Trump says, if I don't get elected, there's going to be a bloodbath and there'll be riots in the street. Everything he never said, they completely, completely misled the American public on. MSDNC, that television network, just bald-faced lies to everybody. It's really a tragedy when you look and see what they do to truth in the name of news, because it's not. It's advocacy journalism. They have a desired result. And again, whoever the American news media is for, I am against. I see them lie continually to the American people, twist what is said to advantage themselves. And, you know, John, I've never seen the American news media so blatant, and they're flat out lying to the American public.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think one thing that is, if there's any, ray of sunshine that comes through all of the lies, it's the fact that Elon Musk purchased Twitter, and it's called X. And now, where before Twitter was suppressing anybody that would have a contrary view, now everybody knows that what they said about his speech being he was talking about an economic bloodbath. So, you know, they twisted it, and everybody proved there on X, on formerly Twitter, that was fake. And again, and that's why they hate Elon so much, because he's, you know, he opened up this portal for people to actually speak truth. And that's why there's so, I mean, he's one of the most hated people from the liberals, and they're trying to shut him down. But, you know, that's thankfully we can speak truth still.
Amen. And so incredible. And last night, just for giggles, I looked up the Mike Pence arm bump with Nancy Pelosi, and it was everything I said it was, and really a whole lot worse. If you watch it, you'll see this snicker smile as they bump arms, as he just, instead of saying, you know, we're gonna really investigate this. There seems to be enough evidence. There was cheating going on in the election. And of course, we know there was. We proved it here. I don't care what MSNBC says or NBC or anybody else. That election was cheated, friends. And it doesn't matter how much they parade themselves. We proved it here. People getting 9 mail-in ballots where there's only 3 people in the house. People getting more than 1 mail-in ballot, one at his father's house, one at his house. Yeah, and especially heavy Democrat neighborhoods. So we know it's phony. It's false. And in so much, it was so bad in one of the local elections for state representatives that actually after they got in and really investigated the mail-in ballots, it turned the election around and the Republican won. So when we realize that they are cheated and we have to be aware of that, the American news media are liars. You just have to be very, very careful. And again, Joe Biden, again, this HER report that came out, here's this guy, he investigates him, and even Joe Biden himself said HER was wrong. He said, no, I'm completely normal. I knew what I was doing. And here HER in his statement says, oh, he's just a nice old man, didn't know what he was doing, and so I decided not to prosecute. Wow, since when does the investigator become the jury and judge? Friends, this is really bad. That information should have been turned over to the Congress and let them decide if they were going to prosecute or not. And this is one of the great problems we have in this new banana republic of the United States. They prosecute anybody they don't like, and those that really are criminals, oh, they get a clean bill of health every time. Something you just kind of need to remember in these last days that we live in. Do what you can do for the king, because I believe we're going to be out of here pretty quick. Again, work for the night is coming, as Jesus said, when no one can work. To the phones we go, 888-ASK-CSN. If you want to be part of the program, let's go to Larry, Palm Desert, California, by Palm Springs. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good. How can we help?
Well, I've got a quick question. I'm reading. I'm a Christian guy, and by the way, what the left does, we should always expect that because they are guided by Satan.
Yeah, I believe anyway, that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And anyway, I've got a question about the preterist view,
yes,
partial or otherwise. Okay, and it's a book that I'm reading. I'm not sure why I'm reading it, but I'd rather be reading the scriptures. But anyway, they do scriptures in here, but they have another take on it. But it's called the Victorious Eschatology, a partial preterist view, and it's by a guy named Harold Eberle and Martin Trench. And anyway, I don't know if you know their names or not, but and know the book or not. But anyway, it's an interesting book, but they think that they're saying that Jesus came back 2,000 years ago on his second coming.
Oh, no. Oh, that is really bad. Jesus specifically warned people about this kind of junk. He said, as lightning flashes from the east and goes into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That is right at the very end of the tribulation period. Every eye will see him. Now, of course, the rapture of the church, Jesus said, I'm coming as a thief, completely different event. But when Jesus comes back at the second coming, every eye will see him, and the whole world changes as we go into the millennial reign of Christ. Your thoughts, John?
Well, you know, first of all, just to help our listeners understand, what is preterism? Preterism comes from the Latin meaning past. So preterism is the view that biblical prophecies concerning end times have already been fulfilled in the past. So it's not a surprise to me that somebody would espouse some false doctrine. And I will say preterism is false. It's not true. It's not biblical. And why they would say Jesus already came in his second coming. And it doesn't make sense when you read scripture. So according to preterism, basically what's happened in prophecy is really already history. So they look at Revelation. They say, that already happened. Friends, not a third of the population has been put to, I mean, everything that's recorded in Revelation has never happened. So it's ridiculous to say that it's already happened. So I think it's easy to debunk preterism, and I'll say even partial preterism, either one. I think they're both false when you look at the scriptures, and there are things that have yet to be fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled in their time. And so I would really reject any kind of teaching on preterism because it's not a proper interpretation of scripture.
No, one third of the people roughly die on, well, more than that. It's almost two thirds die. That didn't happen in 70 AD. Every living thing in the sea didn't die in 70 AD. All the trees and the bushes did not burn up in 70 AD. All the rivers and streams didn't turn to blood in 70 AD. Well, that is metaphorically speaking. Oh, watch out. Now they're twisting scripture. You know, it's very clear. You read Revelation chapter 22, what happens to people that add or take away from the book of Revelation by simply saying, oh, that doesn't obviously mean what it says. Well, I'll tell you, Revelation chapter 22 says God's going to add to them the plagues of the book and take their name out of the book of life. Very serious consequences. Now, when the Bible is speaking of a metaphor, a beast with seven heads and 10 horns, of course, that's a metaphor. But when the Bible says every living thing in the sea dies, friends, that's not a metaphor. When the Bible says you're not going to be able to buy or sell without a mark on your hand or on your forehead, the word literally means implanted or tattooed on your hand or on your forehead. It means exactly what it says. The Bible says if you take the mark, you're not going to heaven. So it doesn't matter who says, oh yeah, you can take the mark, God will still forgive you. No, that's not what the scripture says. When the scripture makes an exception, we take that exception. We don't torture the scripture to make it confess our bad doctrine. We don't do that. So I hope that helps.
Well, gentlemen, it does help because I've got a Christian daughter who thinks that this is a way to go.
Well, let me just tell you this, Larry. I do believe sometimes it's a good idea to know what people were trying to reach believe. Like, in other words, I've studied Mormonism. I've read the Book of Mormon. I've read parts of the Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, Journal of Discourses. And so when I talk to a Mormon, I want to be able to communicate with them intelligently, because again, all these different groups use all the same words. They use Heavenly Father, salvation, Jesus, all these different things. But when you get into these different cults, they have completely different definitions for the words that we find basically in the Judeo-Christian world of biblical study. To the Mormons, again, let's pray to Father right now. They're not praying to the God of the universe. No, they're praying to Adam, the one who fell in the garden. I'm serious, friends. I had a Mormon argue with me over this. We don't believe that. I said, go ask your bishop. He came back and he said, I had no idea that our church believed that. And I also, and I told him, I said, your church also believes Satan and Jesus are brothers. He says, we don't believe that. And I said, ask your bishop. He did. He comes back and he says, I can't believe this stuff. And so, interestingly enough, you know, John 3:6, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That word means the only one he ever had. Didn't have two sons. But you talk to Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus is Michael the Archangel. So they use the same words, but with different meanings. And so I think if you're trying to reach your daughter, understanding the heirs of preterism, to have an idea of where they're coming from, and then be able from scripture to point out that Jesus did not make a secret appearance back in 2,000 years ago, but the Bible clearly says, as lightning, Jesus said that himself, as lightning flashes from the east goes in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And then Jesus specifically warned them about people who claim a secret appearance of Jesus Christ. So I think really, Larry, you looking at that is very helpful in reaching your daughter. I think it's always good to know where people are coming from. Paul the Apostle went to Mars Hill. He says, I see you're all very religious people. You have all these statues to all your gods. He has, you have this one to the unknown God. This is the one I want to tell you about. See, he reached out where they were. And I think that's always a real good thing to be able to do. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I would say, you know, when you think about the problems with preterism, one thing you have to remember is that God's covenant with Israel is everlasting. He's not done with Israel, and there will be a future restoration of Israel. And I think that's something that the preterist fails to take into consideration. Again, you'd have to reread scripture and think that God was done with them, but he's not done with them. In fact, Paul even warned, you remember, against those like Hymenaeus and Philetus, he said, teaching falsely that the resurrection's already taken place. And he said, and they destroy the faith of some. And I'll tell you, preterism has done a lot of damage to people. And I would say even destroyed the faith of some, saying it already happened. No, it hasn't already happened. It's never happened in history, but it will. And I think that that's important to keep in mind.
So I hope that helps.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Larry, stay on the line. Send you out some books, some DVDs. You might look through them, and perhaps there might be something there that you can reach out to your family with. Stay on the line. We'll get you fixed up. Let's go to Karen in Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've never called in before. I guess this would go along, actually, with your previous call, only a different group. My husband is believing the teachings of a group, and I don't think it affects the salvation particularly, maybe, but just so many things they teach it just are the twisting of scriptures in my mind. And I guess I'm asking, how would I counter these teachings scripturally, some of them, such as believing that Eve had Abel from Adam and Cain as Satan's child. The trees in the garden are not actually referring to trees, but things that they do, or something weird. And I don't know if I should say the group. I don't know if you've heard of the Shepherd's Chapel.
Yeah, but, heresy. Heresy. It's sad. The Bible obviously says what it means and means what it says, and yet these people twist scripture. And I'll tell you something, there's a judgment of God for doing that kind of stuff. When you say that really Cain was Satan's child, that is not scripture. You know, these people claim to teach the Bible and they go to the moon and they don't teach the Bible. You will never, never in 100 years come up with that kind of doctrine by simply reading the Bible on your own. You have to be taught wrong. Jesus said, as an example, Matthew chapter 24, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. The days before the flood, the Bible says all they could do is imagine evil continually, and it was party time. And they didn't realize there was an impending global judgment just in a matter of hours. Today, we have the same thing as in the days of Noah. We have a world that's party time. They don't realize that we're on the very edge of a global judgment called the tribulation period. And Jesus said, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The second coming of Christ, if you study the scripture, Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and of course we get towards the last part of the book of Revelation, you'll find that mere survival is all the world is able to offer. It isn't a time of eat, drink, and be merry. It's a time of mere survival. That isn't what Jesus talked about. As in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Speaking of the rapture, the second coming of Christ, Jesus comes back. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, there would be no flesh saved. Why? The tribulation probably would have went on longer than 7 years. But by the end of the 7-year period of time, man has pretty much decimated this earth, and the world's population has been so reduced that unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. That is not speaking of the time before the flood. So when we look at what the Bible says, rather than saying, well, the trees in the garden really weren't trees, they were, so, you know, I mean, this is just wacky stuff. And so they don't teach the Bible. They make up stuff. And personally, I don't give that kind of stuff the time of day. Because you see, when the spirit of error is working, and when it's working in the very couple of chapters in the book of Genesis, it's going to work just as bad through the rest of the Bible. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think one of the things that stands out, if you look at their statement of faith, and this was, I think, part of Karen's question as it related to eschatology, not believing in the rapture. They do believe that it appears that we're going to go through the tribulation, according to them, and that Jesus Christ is our spiritual husband, they say, and you want to remain a spiritual virgin until he returns. Jesus, and they take a scripture that doesn't apply to us. Woe to them that are with child in those days. He's talking to Jews, but they're taking it to the church. They said, if your spiritual husband has been on a long journey and finds you with child when he returns and you've been impregnated or deceived with the mark of the false Messiah, worship Satan in the last hour, study God's word. I mean, just it's stupid stuff. Yeah, it really isn't interpreting scripture clearly. So I'd say, and it's interesting because as you look at the beginning of the statement of faith, they say, we believe in the God of the Bible. Okay. We believe that God's word, we believe in the history and the covenants and the prophecy. We believe this. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's the interesting thing about false doctrine. Usually there's a lot of true, and then there'll be, just like leaven, Jesus said, inserted, there will be false teaching, like what was mentioned. I did not know that they believed that about Cain and Abel, but that's false doctrine. And so I think it's good, Karen, you're being a Berean, and I would encourage your husband to make sure that he is a Berean also. Search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. I mean, search it out. And I think that's really important.
Hope that helps.
Yes, thank you so much. I knew I wasn't crazy.
No. He goes to the moon, man. I mean, something as obvious as the Genesis story, and to be adding that kind of stuff in there, where are you going to stop? He's already demonstrated his exegete of the scripture that you can just add in whatever you want whenever you get the wild urge. Yeah, trees aren't trees, or Cain is Satan's child. No, that isn't what it says. The Bible says sin entered this world through Adam when he rebelled against God. And we're all living in the consequences of our sin, inherited, and what we do. So when you have somebody come along and say these ridiculous things, there are so many better places to go feed your soul. I recommend blueletterbible.org. You can go to the study up at the top of the page, click on that. It'll open commentaries to you. And then you can go, and there's a lot of great ones. David Gusick is great. Matthew Henry from the 1700s is great. Chuck Smith is great. There's a lot of really good ones there that you can look at, but to allow ourselves to be indoctrinated by falsisms that way and making stuff up, just make it up. That's all they're doing. So, Karen, I hope that helps. Stay on the line. Send you out some books, DVDs, something I hope you'll really like. Stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Beth in California. Hi, welcome.
How are you guys today?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I listen to, I don't know if you're familiar with Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
He's one of my trusted news sources. And yesterday or the day before, he had put out a half hour, 20 minute podcast, and he was talking about how upset Hamas was, saying Israel is going to reach their peak and do a temporal space division with their detestable religious myth. And what they were referring to were the red heifers that were sent from Texas to Israel in September of last year. And the word that Glenn Beck received from one of the higher-ups in Israel, I don't know if it's governmental or religious, I'm really unsure, and what he was saying was they are prepared and now have one of those deemed red heifers that is worthy, that has no more than two hairs of white or black on it, and they are going to sacrifice that and cleanse the land for the building of the new temple.
Your thoughts?
And I was...
Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's it doesn't surprise me. I mean, there's definitely a desire if you visit Israel, and I have, I think it's been 12 times. When you visit Israel, there is a place called the Temple Institute, and that is a place where they have all of the instruments that are found in the Old Testament. They have recreated them, also the altar, also the garments of the priests, I mean, to scale. And they're waiting for the opportunity to be able to set up the temple. And we know there will be another temple, but it's going to be built by the Antichrist. But when I was there last time, I was talking to one of the curators, and I said, so tell me what your thoughts are this. How long do you think it'll take to build the whole temple before you guys are on there? He said, oh, we don't even need to build the whole thing. He said, we could take this altar down if we were given permission, and we could reset it up in about a half an hour and start worshiping right now if we had the opportunity. I thought that was pretty surprising. So yeah, there were these red heifers, and the whole purpose of it's needed to help accomplish the purification of the Israelites for uncleanness. And so it's very significant. And every couple of years you hear about a red heifer being born. And then you've got to find one that is without any white hairs. Can you imagine, Mike, you got this red heifer and they're like, oh no, there it is. There's one white hair. Sorry. Not this one, the next one. But apparently they now have some that came from Texas. Jerusalem Post even talks about it. Red heifers and needed for the temple to arrive. So here's what it tells me. It tells me that we're getting closer to the return of Christ. It tells me that Jesus is coming soon. And so that in that respect, it excites me.
Amen. And I think that we, again, keep looking up. Your redemption draws nigh. I hope that helps.
It does. However, I do want to interject the most important thing that he said, that they are planning to do this on Passover this year.
Well, we'll have to wait and see if that happens. And if it does, man, I'll tell you, we're in for a ride. I do believe we're coming to the end of man's futile efforts to govern himself. And so, Beth's the online. We'll get you taken care of. Coming up on that break, don't go away. We'll have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn how you can be a part of sharing heartbeats and shaping hearts for Christ, call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon. And with me, I have, of course, John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South Orange County, down in San Clemente. And I'm so glad, once again, John, I always look forward to Tuesday with you. And I'm really glad we had you on yesterday, too.
Thank you, brother. It's always a blessing to be here with you, the CSN family, and get to talk to people all around the country. What a joy.
Well, let's go back to the phones. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Got a couple lines open. Let's go to Guy, Eastern Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Pastor. Glory to God. The question, when we're serving in a lot of different capacities, and then people will try to be kind and loving, but the praise, my wife and I are not struggling, but we're, you know, we go to Revelation 22:9 about, hey, thank you for, you know, loving us, but we don't want to hear a lot of praise. We want all the praise and glory to go to God. So there's, it's awkward times, and I would love to learn more how to navigate that. You guys do a great job on the radio when people talk to you, and we're trying to, you know, use that example.
Well, you Does don't, here's the thing. I have found you don't want to take God's glory. There's all kinds of people in the Bible who did, and all kinds of people who died. I don't want to do that. Somebody comes up and says, oh, that sermon really ministered. I said, well, you just thank God that the Lord touched you. You know, I really believe that, again, a workman is worthy of his hire, and the obedience that we have towards God, I think, is recognized by others. But we want to be careful to recognize that the gifts within us are given to us by God and not of any merit of our own. And so I really believe that we have to continue to direct people to back to the Lord always. And you know, a lot of times people are just being very nice, and that's okay. I don't mind that. But I want them to realize what is ministering to you is that wonderful, invisible Holy Spirit that comes and communicates through the word, through worship, through fellowship. That is what's worthy to be praised. I think a lot of times sometimes people can elevate themselves. I mean, some of the words and songs of late, I really get concerned with. Like, there's one song out there that, you know, Lord, you are worthy of my praise. Like, ooh, I'm some big deal. You're worthy of my praise, God. I mean, that's kind of a really kooky line in a song, if you really think about it. You're worthy of my praise? Hey, we're lower than bug scum, man. I'm just lucky that there's a God in heaven that sees enough in us that says, hey, as a matter of fact, I want you to be part of my kingdom. It isn't that, oh, God, well, you know, I really assessed the situation here, and I found that you are, in fact, worthy of my praise. I think that's pretty arrogant, personally. And I think we need to get back to say, Lord, you are everything, and I want to be about your business. And I always tell people, whether it's in song or whether it's in our personal lives, all glory goes to him. True worship is to God, not about God. Your thoughts?
You know, in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, Peter and John were making their way to the temple to pray, and they were on their way there, and they were confronted by a lame man who wanted money from them, and they said, we don't have any money to give you, but what we do have, we will give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man who had been lame his whole life suddenly was walking and running around the temple, and people were recognizing him. And then suddenly it says that all the people gathered around Peter and John, and Peter responded, I think, in the right way in Acts chapter 3 and verse 12. When Peter saw it, he said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though our own power or godliness made this man walk? In other words, Peter immediately deflected the attention off of himself and encouraged the people to say, the reason this man stands before you whole is because of Jesus. And yes, it is a blessing when people do encourage you. Maybe they were blessed by something, and you don't have to say, oh, it's not me. It's all the Lord. Like, hey, receive an encouraging word. It's okay. But when you do, make sure that you turn it back and you give it right back to the Lord, because you know where your gift comes from. You know, without him, you couldn't even breathe. And so you stay humble in that respect. I think Charles Spurgeon said it very well in his book, Lectures to My Students. He said that every minister who serves should have one blind eye and one deaf ear. One blind eye to both the praise of man and the criticism of man. One deaf ear to the praise of people and to the criticism of people. And it just keeps you balanced. You know where the glory belongs. And listen, guy, as long as you as long as you continue to just point people to Jesus and say, hey, thank you very much. That's encouraging. God bless you. You know, then God's going to continue to use you as you walk humbly with the Lord.
So I hope that helps.
Do you guys have like a and I like that book. So I wrote down, hang on, I'm trying to read my, Spurgeon, Lectures to my Servant. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. And there's also like Absolute Humility by Andrew Murray. I mean, these are all good things that help you. Calvary Road by Roy Hessen. It's also a good book that really kind of makes us realize it's about Jesus and less about us, is good. You know, the Bible does say in Proverbs 27:2, it says, let somebody else praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. And I think that's a good quality to have.
Hope that helps.
So thank you so much.
Well, God bless you. Stay in line. Send you out some books, some DVDs that might inspire you encourage your friends, maybe show them to your church. I'll send those out to you. And God bless you guys so much for calling. And may the Lord give you the wisdom to just always continue to point people to the King. Let's go to Nicole, Almogordo, New Mexico. Hi and welcome. Hi, Noel.
Hello?
Hi, Noel.
Hello.
How may we help?
So, I got this big question.
Okay.
I know that God created the universe, but what if something else did? Like, besides the devil, besides any other God, what if something else created it?
Well, I think that's a good question. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, for me, Noel, I have to go to the Word of God. And if God's word is true, and I believe that it is, it's God's revelation of himself. And when you open up the Bible in the very first passage, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's where it starts. And that's where I stand. God created everything. And so I believe it. And you look at the vast universe that God has created. You look at all of the things that he has made. You look at all the, whether it's the birds or whether it's the ocean animals, the mammals, all of these things. You know, Paul, writing to the Romans, he said that God's invisible attributes are clearly seen in the things that he has created, even his eternal Godhead, so that mankind is without excuse. In other words, you can look at creation, and Paul said to the Romans, we know that God made it all. And so I don't doubt it. There's a lot of things out there that would try to tell us it wasn't God. Maybe it was, and Mike, you have some thoughts on this and have even talked about it extensively, these false things that people say to try to get us to believe that something else created us. But in the beginning, Noel, God created you. He created me. And you know something else? He created us because he loved us, and he created us because he wants to have fellowship with us, has a relationship with us. And he loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross and to rise again from the dead so that we could be with him for eternity in heaven. So that's what we believe, because God's word says it and we trust it.
Amen. I hope that helps, dear.
That really does help. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, in the book of John, it says all things were made by him, and without him, not anything that's made was made. So understanding that Jesus is the creator of everything we know, I think we can take great rest in knowing that because he created everything, he knows where it's all going. How old are you, Noel?
I am 11 years old.
Well, that's a big question for such a big person as you. I'm glad you're reading your Bible. Now listen, I want to send you some books and some DVDs, so you stay on the line and I'll get those out to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. You stay online. Well, we'll get you taken care of. Let's go to D. Let's see. We don't have D. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And real quickly, we want to...
Sweet. 11 years old.
I know.
Calling about, hey, how did we get here? What, how were we created? How did all this happen? I mean, I don't know if I was thinking that at 11 years old, but I love the fact that we've got some young listeners out there calling with great, great questions. And that really gives me encouragement for this next generation, Mike.
Amen. And, you know, like I say, I really just want to encourage everyone to be about your Father's business. We are running out of time. You know, when you look at the headlines, and I'll tell you, I have never seen anything as really as bad as I'm seeing now. Mm-hmm. A federal judge in Illinois ruled that illegal people that are in our country illegally can have guns. Just came out today. Now, they said that's under the constitutional rights. That is for American citizens, dumb judge. They're not constitutional citizens. They are illegal in our country. But for some reason, the idea of overwhelming America with crime will give the Democrats the right to take away your guns. This is what China wants, is a disarmed America. And so they have to do it. Now, we know that Biden is really a proxy for China. We know that he's received money from China. It's all in the documents. Everything is there. And of course, the American news media won't report on it because, again, it doesn't fit into their one world order to collapse America. And then out of the ashes comes the new communist one world order that, of course, the Antichrist is going to reign over. And so when you look at all this stuff, and I just was looking at some of these different stories. Biden surges ahead in the polls. No, he's not. That's another lie. He's 11 points behind Trump. But see, the problem is they're not going to tell you the truth. They are completely rotten. And I'll tell you, everybody, you know, every once in a while they tell such a doozer that even the people that say it get caught and get fired. Now, were they told to say that? Absolutely. But you'll notice these different faux pas that Biden is always saying. He called those coming across the border illegal the other night. And then when questioned about it, he says, well, they're not supposed to be here. Well, wait a minute, Joe, that goes against everything you're doing. What is it? You got to tell us straight now. He can't do it. Then you have Putin saying that if America doesn't stop messing around with NATO, that he's going to bring about World War III. That's today, everybody. Listen, when you understand how late the hour is, not to be scared, but to be understanding that our King's coming back real soon to take us home. This Easter Sunday, this Palm Sunday, do you have some people that you've been thinking about to invite to church? Pray you have, because you see, that might be their last call. And so I really believe that Jesus, as he rebuked those people in those days, he said, how is it that you can discern the face of the sky? You know, a storm is coming and you can't discern the coming of the Son of Man. He rebuked them for that. And yet we find people today, you even have people in pulpits saying, oh, the Lord's not coming back at all. The rapture is not even real. You know, we're just going to keep going on. And pretty soon the church is just going to take over the world and we're going to usher in Christ. Never mind the Bible says that we're headed for a 7-year global judgment, that Christians will be gone. There will be a one world order where no one can buy or sell without the mark on their hand or on their forehead. 2/3 of the world's population dies. No, they're not telling people the truth. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Being about your daddy's business in these days, so important. Back to the phones. D on the line, St. Louis. Hi, welcome.
Hey.
How can we help?
How are you guys?
Good.
Right, my question. question is, you hear that, you know, that said there's separation, there is supposed to be separation of church and state. And I'm trying to find out, as a Christian, should we, and it's probably a stupid question, but should we be, we're in the world, but not of the world. So should we be voting and participating in things that affect our lives here on earth if we're Christians? And I know it's a stupid question, but I hear pastors say there's supposed to be a separation between church and state, and we should not be involved in the things of this world.
Boy, I'll tell you, that is bad, isn't it? For somebody to say that. You know, we're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to watch out for those that are in darkness, even to bring them into the light, and then to say, oh, we don't have any right in government. The statement, separation of church and state, appears in no legal document in the United States. It was written by Thomas Jefferson to a Baptist minister that said the government has no right to interfere with the things of the church. The church has always had an influence on government from the very inception of our country. The only legal document where you'll find the separation of church and state is in the Russian Constitution, not in the American Constitution. Friends, this is really important because this myth, this lie that's perpetrated, it's not in any document. You ask the average person, is the separation of church and state statement in the Bill of Rights or in the Constitution? Oh, yeah, it's in there. Why? Because it's been, the American public has been lied to so much, they believe the lie. And so, no, I believe we need to be about our Father's business. The Bible says, to render what Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. The only difference in our nation, at least for a little while longer, maybe, we can determine who Caesar is. But I'll tell you something, the idea, I don't believe there's a better lie that the Communist Party, that the Democrats want, because they're pretty godless. They are pro-death. We're pro-choice. No, you're pro-death. Quit massaging the words. You're pro-death. There's no choice between life and death. You're pro-death. And that's what it is. But notice how they always change the words to make it more palatable to people. Oh, I'm pro-choice. What's the choice? To kill the baby? No, you're pro-death. Let's call it what it is, everybody. You know, there's a song by a Christian rock band, and they're still around. If you ever have a chance, if you're really into thrash metal, One Bad Pig, that was the name. Speaking of one bad Gentile, you might say. And they had a song called Planned Parenthood, It Ain't No Good. You are pro-abortion. You are for gay rights. One thing that we all know, you are Antichrist. Wow. That was the lyrics in a song by One Bad Pig. Now, I look at this and I realize that we're up against some things that we don't really understand. And what I believe the devil wants more than anything else is Christians squelched. Don't vote. Don't get involved. Let us just destroy America and don't even raise your voice. And ministers that are promoting this, shame on you for not encouraging we as Christians who have a voice to stand up and be heard. You know, the world does, and we're told not to. So the idea of separation of church and state, dear, not in any government document. The Christians have always reached out to influence government. Our very foundational fathers saw the importance of that. One nation under God, you'll find that all the way through, that we were endowed by our Creator. Oh yes, all the way through. Our foundation as a nation had everything to do with God. No, the government has no right to interfere in the church's lives, but the church always influenced government. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the only thing necessary for triumph of evil, yes, is for good men to do nothing. Listen, if pastors are okay, if churches are okay with boys going into girls' bathrooms, if they're okay with young men competing against women, claiming to be women in women's sports, you're okay with that. If you're okay with the government, and I'm speaking from the state that is liberal as any and sets the tone. I'm in California and we got a lot of problems here. If you're okay with the government telling you what to do with your kids and providing care for them without having to inform the parent that you're going to transition or you're going to take, if you feel like your parents are non-affirming of your desires at 12 years old, then the state would gladly take you without your parents' permission and they'll raise you and they'll provide for you the things that you need. Listen, if you don't see that as a problem, I question your Christianity. Listen, we're called to stand for those who can't stand for themselves. And if we just let evil run rampant, listen, we have the opportunity to vote. We have the opportunity to defend liberty. And for any pastor to get behind a pulpit and somehow say, hey, we're not political. Listen, we're not talking about political. We're talking about biblical. We're talking about
right and wrong, right and wrong.
And I think that is something that you need to get over this. What's happened is you believe the lie, the narrative of the media that says, oh, you're a Christian nationalist and trying to make you out to be some kind of Nazi. Listen, that's a misrepresentation. We are called to stand. And if you don't stand, God's going to hold you accountable. And if you don't inform your people about these things, you will also be held accountable. And so if you look at the scriptures, look at the prophets, look at who they would contend with as Israel was sacrificing to the gods of Molech, burning babies. Prophets were calling out kings. They were stepping into the arena and calling down what God was saying. I mean, this is the time when, and we even have the freedom to do so. So anybody, and it's interesting, Mike, because sometimes you find these people, they complain about the government, this thing, and they don't do anything. And I think stop complaining and start doing something. Yes, we need to pray, but we also need to activate and we need to vote and we need to do what we can. Ultimately, one kingdom is going to last forever. That's the kingdom of Jesus. But listen, I got kids and grandkids coming into this world, and I'm going to do the best that I can to stave off evil from those who are, many of them, making these policies are childless. They don't have children. They don't want children. They want to groom children. Hey, listen, that's where we draw the line and we stand in Jesus' name against those things.
Hope that helps.
And I got one more question.
Sure.
About turning the, so that kind of like goes into, I've heard that turning the other cheek doesn't actually, so that's like if someone walks up to you and they slap, you're with your family or by yourself and they walk up to you and they slap you. Are we to literally turn the other cheek, or is that something to say to them? Like, I don't know how, I don't understand the interpretation of that saying.
It's what you're being slapped on the cheek for, dear. If you're preaching the gospel and somebody comes up and slaps you on the cheek, then you turn the other cheek. If somebody comes up and hits you in the face, I'm with my family. He'll probably never do it again. You see, we have to understand what the conditions were when Jesus made these statements. Oh, whatever they want to do. You know, we just love everybody. You know, I've had these people say, oh, we just love everybody. I'm not for violence. That person doesn't love anybody. If you're in a Bible study, let's say you're in a room and somebody kicks in the door and they have a gun and they're going to start shooting people. And I say, oh, everybody, I love you. If you really love them, greater love hath no man, the Bible says, that he lay his life down for a friend. Greater love hath no man that he lays his life down for a friend. That tells me there is a confrontation. There is a fight that would require a person to lay down his life for a friend. If I say I love the people in that room, I will do everything I can do to stop that person from hurting the people I love. To sit back and say, oh, just fire away. That person doesn't love anybody. It's a phony love. It's a phony Christianity. Because you defend those that you love. You protect those that you love. And when someone's trying to do them harm, whether it's a little child that's being brutally mutilated, or whether it's some older person that is, go do your civic duty and die. This is the stuff that we have to make a stand on. Turning the other cheek, I believe, has to do with where we are involved in the ministry of the kingdom of God. Not everybody's going to hear what we have to say. And I think Jesus laid down a pretty good example of that when Herod says, you've done many miracles. Do one for me. And the Bible says Jesus didn't answer him a word, which, by the way, in itself is a miracle. Because most people would try to defend themselves in some way. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think turning the other cheek is saying, hey, you can't defend yourself if, somebody is attacking you. And that it's only in the physical area of violence. But I mean, I think sometimes too, D, when you are maligned or somebody says something, that is cruel to you or degrading, do I immediately give it back or do I turn from it and just, I think those moments you have to really pray through, and God gives us wisdom. But, I don't think it means you need to be a punching bag for anybody. I do think we can defend ourselves and protect the ones we love. But I really appreciate your questions today, and I hope that we've been able to help.
Yeah, the Bible says that we're to pursue love. We're to be about our Father's business. But we live in a fallen world, and a lot of evil people want to hurt a lot of people. So stand up for what's right. Do what God's called us to do. And most of all, get ready. I think God's going to take us home pretty soon. D, stay in line, send you out some books, some DVDs. And again, encouraging everybody, be about your Father's business. Thanks, John, for being on the program. Look forward to being back with you. Be sure to catch John an hour before to Every Man an Answer.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.